Praise the Lord. A message number 150. The title of the message, God's Presence in Our Lives, Part 2. We spoke in the previous message that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, where the Lord is seated in the mercy seat between the cherubim, was in the heart of the people of God, of Israel, was in the center of the camp. And also we spoke that we need to keep the Lord in the center of our hearts, that he need to sit in our hearts. And we spoke that with God's presence represented by the seat of mercy in the Ark of the Covenant, we did, there are three other things important. The tables of the covenant, and we spoke about that in the previous message. That was the Ten Commandments, the tables, the tablets that the Lord wrote with his finger, and that represent the Word of God in our life. If you want to keep God's presence, we need to honor and follow the Word of God. And the second element that we're going to speak today is the rod of Aaron. And that what we can read in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 4, it speak about the Ark of the Covenant, where it was in the holiest of all, or in the Holy of Holy, and inside it the three things that we mentioned. Let's read Hebrews chapter 9 verse 4, which has the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. In this message, we'll concentrate on the Aaron's rod. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, and we magnify you, we adore you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, anoint this time, and use it, Lord, for your glory. Let your message be clear. Anoint my lips, and guide me to speak your word to your people, and arrange the message in the way that you want it to be. Let the message be clear, and bring you glory and honor and the fruit that you desire to see in our lives. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How come that the rod of Aaron's, or the staff of Aaron, came inside the Ark of the Covenant? Let's read the book of Numbers chapter 17. We will read from verse 1 to verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each of their ancestral tribes. Write the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name, for there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Place them in the tent of meeting in the front of the testimony, where I meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will separate, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites. So Moses spoke to the Israelites, and their leaders gave him 12 staffs, one for the leader of each of their ancestral tribes, and Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. The next day, Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from the Lord's presence to all the Israelites. They looked at them, and each man took his own staff. The Lord said to Moses, "Put back Aaron's staff in the front of the testimony to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to their grumbling against me so that they will not die." Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. This is a very clear story. There was a constant grumbling about Moses and about Aaron and about the leadership of Moses and Aaron. God hates grumbling and hates people who grumble constantly against what the Lord had constituted. The events in the book of Numbers chapter 17, this is not the only incident. In the book of Numbers chapter 11, the people were very grumbling against Moses. They want to eat meat. God gave them quail, but the quail was still in their mouth. God killed many of them because of the grumbling. In Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron grumble against Moses, and God struck with Miriam with leprosy. She stayed outside the camp for 1 week, then was brought back healed. In the book of Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they grumble against Moses and Aaron after they explored the land. They grumble. They say, "We cannot take hold of this land. We cannot take possession of it." And they want to go back. They discourage the people. And the Lord, in this occasion, said that they will not enter my rest. That only their children, they will enter the promised land. But those who grumble, those who say that, "What happened to our children?" they will not enter the promised land, but their children will enter instead of them. In the book of Numbers chapter 16, we find that Korah and Dathan and Abiram, those who supported him, they grumble. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and say to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy. Every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" That is in Book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 3. God dealt with the Korah and those people. He allowed that the earth would be open and swallow them with their families, with their tent. And the Lord was so tired with the people grumbling. So we find that the Lord did something in you to stop people grumbling. And if you want God's presence in our life, we should not grumble. Because that the rod or staff of Aaron has been budded and blossomed, sprouted and budded and produced almonds. And the Lord said to Moses, keep this Aaron's staff in the front of the testimony, in the front of the table of the covenant of the testimony. So that everyone will know that I have chosen Moses, and they will stop grumbling. Even in the New Testament, God wants us to serve Him and live for Him without grumbling or argument. Book of James, chapter 5 and verse 9. Do not grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. 1 Peter, chapter 4 and verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. God give us His grace, the fruit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts. And God wants us to serve one another without arguing and without grumbling. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. Paul say to the church in Philippi, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. So the first things we learn about God's presence from the staff of Aaron, we should not grumble, especially against those who work hard, those who teach us and direct us with the affairs of the Lord. What we learn more from the staff of Aaron, if you read Book of Numbers chapter 16, and I read verse 5, what Moses said to Korah and all his followers. He said to him, then he said to Korah and all his followers, in the morning the Lord will show who belongs to Him and who is holy, and He will have that person come near Him, the man He chooses. He will cause to come near Him. The Lord wants holy people. The staff of Aaron represent also for us holiness. God, those who are non-holy, they cannot be in God's presence. Aaron was holy, and we as a royal priesthood, according to the word of God in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. After Jesus' death on the cross for our sin, we are called to be a holy nation. Even the Israelites, when God called them, He told them, if you will obey all my commands and follow it, you will be my chosen people for us as a royal priesthood. If you want God's presence in our life, we must keep holiness. We must keep our families and our personal life and living in holiness. Because without holiness, no one can see. No one can see the Lord. God's presence will not be with us if you will not live a holy life for the Lord. The staff of Aaron, the rod of Aaron. Is this a new rod? That's what we read in number 17. Book of number 17. Is that rod of Aaron is the same rod that the other tribes had given forward to be tested by the Lord? What is the story of the staff or the rod of Aaron? It is not a new rod or staff. Even the people of God, the Israelites, they knew what is the staff of Aaron all about. What is the story of it? Let's go to book of Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1 to 5. The time that the Lord called Moses to go and to deliver his people out from Egypt. Book of Exodus chapter 4 verse 1 to 5. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, say the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So here, the staff of Aaron is given from the Lord, the power in it. It was in the hand of Moses, and God used it to be a sign for others that God appeared to Moses. So here, Moses and Aaron, for the Israelites, they are not the new leaders. They are not the new people. They are not people who invented themselves. Those are the people who labor hard. They received first the calling of God, and they went. Moses went back to Egypt, and God prepared Aaron to help him. Moses had the vision to do the work of God, and he is the one whom God used to call the Israelites out of Egypt. He is the one that God used and sent to Pharaoh to tell him that the Lord wanted to let his people go outside to go and worship him. So the people are not grumbling against a human. They were grumbling against God. The people, they were grumbling against the leader who work hard and labor hard for their own benefit. So, God's presence will be in our life if you listen and obey. Those people whom God had called to lead us in the way of righteousness. God called you to obey the leader who labor and work hard to care for you and teach you the right way and lead you in the way that God wants you to go. What is the meaning of the rod of Aaron or the staff of Aaron? Is that we must know that when God is calling us to serve Him, when God is calling you to serve Him, to lead others into His righteousness, it will not be an easy task. There will be doubt. There will be opposition. There will be suffering. There will be trial. People that you serve, they will try to harm you. They will try to bite you. They will try to cause you problems and turn back against you. But you can face them. We can face all these troubles with the power of God in our life. We must know that the presence of God in our life is the miraculous power that God will send with us, the Holy Spirit, to fight the battle and to win the contest as Jesus won it on the cross. We have the victory. Jesus won the victory on the cross and gave it to us. We need to go armed for the battle, putting on the full armor of God, and we must know that we will face trials, we will face opposition as Moses and Aaron, they face that. But we need to rely on God's miraculous power for deliverance. Holiness is important as a royal priesthood. We need to be living in holy, leading our families in righteousness. Devil will oppose us. People will oppose us. When they see that we are living in holiness, they will try to make us troubles, but we need to stand firm. Like Noah stood firm. Abraham stood firm to his family in righteousness, in holiness. Opposition will be from inside, outside. See how Miriam and even Aaron, very near to Moses, they oppose him. We must expect that. We should not be discouraged. We need to go forward, encouraged, armed with God's miraculous power. The value of God's presence is His deliverance in time of troubles. As He delivered Moses and Aaron and the priesthood, the Lord will deliver us and help us from those evildoers who try to oppose us. God will help us and deliver us from the devil who tries his best to oppose us. In book of Numbers and chapter 18, after the Lord settled this grumbling against the priesthood of Aaron, in book of Numbers chapter 18 verse 1 and 2, the Lord said to Aaron, "You, your sons, and your father's family are to bear the responsibility for offenses against the sanctuary, and you and your sons alone are to bear the responsibility for offenses against the priesthood. Bring your fellow Levites from your ancestral tribe to join you and assist you when you and your sons minister before the tent of the meeting." So here, the responsibility against the offenses against the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and against the office of the priesthood will be bare by Aaron. And here we are, as we commit ourselves to be a royal priesthood for the Lord, to lead our families and the congregation of the church and the work of God and the ministry, we must put in our mind it will not be easy. There will be opposition, there will be offenses, but we should not be worried. The Lord is with us, and He will go before us, and He will subdue the enemy. Speaking about the Lord and the staff of Aaron, we know that, what is it? It was the same staff that Moses was using to shepherd the sheep. God made it in the hand of Moses a powerful, miraculous staff to do miracles for the Lord. In the book of Exodus chapter 7, verse 8 to verse 13, the Lord says to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff. This is the staff of Aaron. Take your staff. This is the rod of Aaron. Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magician also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff and it became snake, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. You see here the first miracle the Lord did to vindicate Moses and Aaron that they are a servant. The second miracle is the plague of blood. Let's read what had happened. Same chapter, Exodus chapter 7 and verse 19 to verse 20. What the staff or the rod of Aaron did. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn into blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in the wooden buckets and stone jars. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptian could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. Verse 22. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. You see here that even the Lord did miracle. These two witchcraft, those who are magicians, the witchcraft, who were working with Pharaoh, did also the same. In the same way, when you serve God, devil will counterfeit anointing. They will play chairs, they will play Bible study, they will do even false miracle. There are a lot of things they may do to oppose the truth. But finally, God's power will will have the victory and will prevail at the end. So opposition from our side, from the non-believers, from actually it is all from devil. First he will use the non-believers, and sometimes he used first also the believers, as we have read in the book of Numbers, how Moses and Aaron were opposed by their own people. Chapter 8, verse 5-7. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. Verse 7, but the magician did the same things by their secret arts. They also made the frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So here again, the magician with their secret arts, they oppose God, they oppose Moses and Aaron and the miracles that God did. Verse 16 to verse 18, the plague of gnats. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt the dust will become gnats." They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the Egyptians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not, and the gnats were on men and animals. Finally, they were not able to do what the staff of Aaron and what Aaron and Moses God do for them. The miracle. They could not counterfeit, they could not imitate, they could not make a false miracle. So God testified about his presence in a very clear way. We need to rely fully on God's miraculous power. The Lord will be with us, and he will aid us, and he will support us. We must know that the battle is the Lord. It will not be easy, but we can overcome because he is with us. The second thing is we need to keep the holiness in our life, in the camp, in our family, so that devil will not find foothold to fight against us. And we must know that the opposition can be from outside the church, non-believers, or from inside, from people very near to us. Devil may use him to oppose us and stop us from doing God's work and God's will. We will read, all what we read now is from the Old Testament. We will read about what we spoke from a scripture in the New Testament. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, about the importance of the presence of God in our life, and also will show that the troubles and the terrible things that Moses and Aaron and the priesthood were suffering, still we might face, and sure we are facing the same day to day. But in the same way that Moses and Aaron face the same way that Moses and Aaron, they face the trials and the tribulation and the troubles, they face it with the God's power, we will face all trials relying on God's power. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I will read it from verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Terrible times in the last day, and we hear wars and other things. But what are the terrible things that he mentioned here? What he mean? Verse 2, people will be lovers of themselves, selfish, lovers of money, boastful, showing off, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power, have nothing to do with them. Even they speak in the name of the religion or in the name of God, but they are terrible people with terrible action. They are the kind who warm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, immoralities, and other sin, injustice, abuse, mark their lives and conduct, and we can recognize them. But we must know that there is a power of devil working in them against us. Verse 7, always learning but never be able to acknowledge the truth. The same when Aaron and Moses were doing miracles, when the magicians were not able to perform it, still they would not believe in Moses and Aaron. Verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth, men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. So here in the New Testament, the magician are those who oppose the truth and the word of God, those who oppose the true worker of God, the men of God who work for the Lord. Those who oppose Moses and Aaron among the Israelites, they were subordinate to Moses and Aaron. Moses is the one who lead them out, he's the one who helped them out, but they rebel. And Moses faced them with the power of God. We need to face those who oppose us with the power of God. Verse 9, but they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to every one. Verse 10, what was the advice of Paul to Timothy? And that is what we follow. And that's what we advise you to follow. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. He is encouraging Timothy, and I encourage you. Timothy here, Moses here, Paul here, his life is like Moses. He was opposed. But the Lord had to secure him. Timothy was his disciple. He's telling him, you know my teacher, you know everything about me. Here, Paul is speaking heart to heart to Timothy. He's telling him that trust the honest life that I was living and follow the same. And the Lord will rescue you. In verse 12, he told him, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That is here now the trend. Persecution will come. And we must know, Lord, and we must know also that as we are following the Lord, taking the responsibility and the style of life of royal priesthood, then persecution will come from evildoers, from imposters, but the Lord will be with us. The Lord will sustain us. He told Paul to Timothy in verse 12 onward to verse 14. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, more worse in the future, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learn it. He's telling him, you continue of what you receive from me, because you know very well my life and my commitment to the Lord. I assure you also the same. Follow the teaching, who you listen to the message, all the teaching in this message and the rest of the messages and the teaching that you receive, because you know very well from whom you have received this word. You need to know the life of those who taught you the word of God. The style of life is a teaching by itself. And if the teachers are not genuine in their life, even if they have good teaching, because they don't have commitment, we should not follow such people who speak the word of God but they don't live it. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, more encouraging word from Paul to Timothy and to us and to you, you who listen, to know that the Lord will aid us, will fight for us. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord will help us. We need to rely on God's presence, the miraculous power of God when there's opposition, antichrist, anti-ministry, persecution, grumbling, blockage. God, the Holy Spirit, is with us and he will fight the battle. Let us trust him and pray. Lord, help us. We come against all work of devil and we rebuke it. We nullify it in the name of Jesus. Lead us, Lord, in the way of righteousness. Lord, those who oppose us, deal with them, humble them, change their mind and life, transform them. Oh Lord, I pray, deal with them and take them away, as you have handled those who oppose Moses and Aaron and Paul and Timothy and the apostles and your church deal the same with those who oppose us. Give us patience, sustain us, provide for us, Lord, so that we will continue to stand firm, waiting for you to come and deliver us. O Lord, bless us, O God. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Christ's name. Amen and amen.